have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Are you looking for an above-average talk show that tackles kingdom issues and current events? Then join Elder Ernest E. Richard Jr. and the panel of the Pastor's Corner podcast every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central. It's a show that tackles those issues that attack your day. It's the Pastor's Corner radio podcast here on Elations Radio. That's real talk for real people with real purpose.
From sun up to sundown, God. From the moment I wake up, God, until the moment I lay my head down, God, I'll forever bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all that happens in between, Jesus. The depression, the anxiety, God. The disappointments, God. It's all just a mean, God, to draw me back to you, Jesus. Just to draw me back to you, God. Hallelujah! Uh-huh. And I know it all starts with you, God. From the rising.
From the rising.
To the going down.
To the going down of the same.
As long as I have breath in my body, God.
Each day that rise.
I promise you, Jesus.
I'll forever bless your name.
Come on, God's journey children. Let them know.
From the rising of the sun.
To the going down of the same.
To the going down of the same.
It starts with you, Jesus. It starts with you, God.
Each day that I rise.
Each day that I rise, God, I promise you.
I'll forever bless your name.
From the rising of the sun, God.
From the rising of the sun.
To the going down of the same, Jesus.
To the going down of the
same. No matter
same.
What I go through throughout the day, Jesus.
For as long as I live.
I promise you, God, that I'll forever.
I'll forever bless your name.
No matter the situation, God, no matter the dreams, God.
From the rising of the sun.
To the going down of the same, God.
To the going down of the same.
I promise you, Jesus.
Long as I live.
I promise you, God.
I'll forever bless your name.
From the rising of the sun, God.
From the
as long as I have breath in my body, God.
To the going down of the same.
As long as I live, Jesus.
Each day that I rise.
I promise you, God. I'll bless your name.
I'll forever bless your name.
For all that happens in between, God. It's really
all
just a
thing.
Really
to draw
me back to you, Jesus.
To draw me back to you.
For all that happens in between, God, the anxiety, God, the depression, God, it's really just to be, God, to draw me back to you.
To draw me back to you.
Well, it's Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. We must be listening at The Voice, amen, with your host, Apostle. praise God. It's another Tuesday night, the last Tuesday night in August of 2021. When you go to bed tonight, amen, and sleep for a little while, when you wake up again, it will be the 1st of September. Can you believe it? Can you receive it? Do you know it to be true? Well, when you get up tomorrow, you don't have to guess about it no more. It will be another month, the 9th month of the year at that. Woo-wee! My God. This year has really, really flown by. But we thank God for every month he has given us, everything he has done, and we want to get this podcast up and jumping. I got some lighter fluid I'm going to put on the charcoal, and I got a match in my hand. Back up. I'm getting ready to throw it. Let's start with the first person, our producer in East St. Louis, Missouri. And Jimmy Kim, won't you be my friend?
Oh, absolutely. This is a wonderful day, and I just want to say thank you for having me on, and let's begin to break some bread.
All right, and we're going to travel down the road a little more. Hey, man, I feel like shucking some corn. Let me see if I can stop in Indianapolis, Indiana, and get a truckload of corn. Hey, man, is the Pastor Anna Henderson on the line tonight?
Amen, amen, amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be on with this panel tonight. Looking forward to the discussion.
Hey, man, I must keep rolling. I must keep rolling. I feel like going to the suburbs of the metropolitan area of the DMV in the house with me, the Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. Come on, say something to us, man.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Then I read Ernest 1 and 1. I was glad when you said to me, come on and join me on The Voice. Good evening to you, sir.
Lord, have mercy, have mercy. All right. And I want to go down in that peachy state. Amen. The peach tree state. And I want to check and see, hey, man, is that man making peach juice tonight? Hey, man, to make the thirst be quenched, is that Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. on the line with us tonight?
Shabba-dabba-doo, I am with you too. Looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. Hey,
all righty. And then let me see if a couple of pals and buddies of mine have come on tonight. Amen. I'm going to stay in that peak state. Amen. I'm looking for a woman of God. She's on assignment in another state, but I'm going to see if she called in. Like I asked her to. Sister Marva, you on this line tonight? All right. I guess she has not called in just yet, or she's sitting back just listening in. Amen. And then I may have that great woman of God on the line, but I know she's in silence tonight. Because she was getting ready. She had one eye closed and another one holding on with a toothpick. Amen. The great elder, Nodella Jordan. I thank God for you. Listen in and enjoy. Bishop Jefferson a text. Tell him I said, come on in tonight. If he feels like it, I would love to have him on. Amen. But tonight, amen, is the end of the month, and it shall be the end of our wonderful discussion that we have been having this month. And we want to go out with as much of a bang and power and excitement as we can. Amen. As we have been doing, I shall start with a scenario. Amen. And then we shall have a short song on this week. And then we're going to come back and we're going to pick at the scenario. And tonight we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord is going to bless your life with our discussion tonight. Well, here's our scenario tonight. I better start it like that. There was a gentleman that I knew. Started out real good in the house of God, in the work of the Lord. But then things got a little strange. And I began to pull the person in, talk with them, trying to keep them in alignment with the things of God. And they seemed to get better. And then a few months later, maybe 3-4 months later, they begin to veer off again and begin to veer off in such a terrible way, I wound up having to silence the person while yet trying to minister to them to come on, get yourself together, do the work of God, and let God get the glory out of your life. But it's just like the story of the woman that was had the infirmity. Instead of things getting better, it got progressively worse. The person began to steal things. Messed around one day, got a hold to the church checkbook and took 2 checks out and tried to use them for themselves. But yet in all of this, I tried to cover them, tried to minister to them, tried to help them get back in alignment and in their place with God so that God can use them, get the glory, do what he really wanted to do inside of them. But it got so bad that one Sunday of a convocation, I had to bring them before the people of God and defrock them in front of everyone. And it was by God's grace, God's mercy, God's awesome power, that one Sunday in a service, the power of God fell and fell on this person and really begin to break them down, wear them down until they begin to holler out and begin to apologize and begin to turn their life around. I wish tonight, after all that they stop by the church every now and then, want to hug me, want to talk about how much they miss me, and they miss the church, but they don't come to church. But I keep trying, and I keep reaching out. But I wonder tonight, being saved and being a brother to the brother, how saved am I supposed to be? How far do I go? How much do I reach out? How important should I make this one person? And what do we do until real deliverance and true deliverance really come? Oh, that's the inside story about what I know in church. There are some other pieces that I will not go into, for I am a man of integrity, and I will not tear up anybody's character at any time. But tonight, think on these things. Kimmy Kim, get ready to let that track go round and round. Kimmy Kim, are you there?
I am here.
If I had a wing of a dove, I believe
and talking with Jesus.
I'll fly, love, I'll fly away.
I'm gonna fly.
I knew that was coming, and I was trying not to be first, give everybody else a chance to say something. Because, I mean, when you look at the scenario in leadership, you really have to do what you have to do. Responsibility, A, number one, always has to start at the top, and leaders have to do what they need to do. And in order to restore, they have to bring to the surface what it is that needs to be restored. And those who have failed, where our job is to guard against them falling that much deeper into sin. We're supposed to help them to come out of whatever it is that they're in. We're supposed to help them not just bear their burden, but if it's something a weight or something that so easily besets them, it's our job to help them to recognize it, realize it, and then have a desire to come back to the place that God had them. And at the same time, we ourselves have to keep a level of humility. I mean, this particular type of attitude should bleed down through the ranks. It should, we have to bear responsibility and leave no room for attitude, or, you know, just leave no room for attitude in general. Long story short, listening to the scenario you gave, the young man had no real desire to be directed, to be mentored, to be coddled, to be protected, and all that comes with walking with leadership and under leadership. So his heart's desire is to be his own person, and he's like a ship without a sail. He's out in the middle of the ocean. I pray he doesn't hit any rocks, because just as quickly as he got out there in the water, let me leave that alone. Anyway, I'm done.
Pastor Anderson. You have to come off of mute so we can hear you.
Amen. I believe Bishop Elect kind of said what I would have said, and it's important to take responsibility and accountability and discipline at the same time. Do it in love. Do it in without any hidden agendas or anything that is in the carnal realm, but to do it in the meekness of spirit and do it in the spirit of the Lord as the Lord leads. So as a leader, whether it's spiritual leader or natural leader, we have the responsibility to, to instruct and to guide and redirect and to put in order those things that are out of order. So I would say that at this time.
All right. Kimmy Kim, talk to me.
I really believe that you must allow the Spirit to dwell in you. There are times that you would be the only Bible that people see. And so that is why it's important that we continue on letting our light and the taste of salt to continue in our lives, because I'm just reminded that there's so much confusion that's going on, which is, you know, he's doing a great job, the prince of the world, such as, you know, weather and wars and hatred and diseases. I mean, when you're looking from left and right, it's always something. So I really believe when you think you're too safe, you're too holy for any earthly good. So when you become that way, I tend to think you're Jesus Jr., because the only perfect being is Jesus. So I pray for those who really, you know, tend to look beneath those who are still, you know, new on this walk, because it takes time to get, you know, into that meek believer. It is a growing in grace, because if that was the case, we're looking at David, we're looking at Paul. You know, they had to go through some interesting times to get to where they were. And Paul wrote most of the second the New Testament, and David is the apple of God's eye, and he wrote most of Psalms, and Psalms is like in the middle of the book, and it's filled with nothing but songs. And it's amazing how he made Psalms one of the biggest book in the Bible, and he wrote most of those. So when God wants to use you, he will use you, but at the same time, we must be willing to serve those who are lost as well.
Apostle Whitlow.
I'm listening to everybody, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself that it's a matter of determining if a person really wants to be right. Because we come across people who will play the role that they want to be saved, they want to be right, but they'll continue to do what they do. Then they don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be corrected. When they are, they want to leave the church and say that the church is filled with hypocrites, and because they don't like discipline. Or they'll say, I've outgrown that ministry. No, it's just a matter that you don't want to be corrected. You don't want nobody to tell you anything, because you think you know more than everybody, more so you feel that you're better than everybody. And when you find a person like that, no matter how much you want to minister to them because you want them to be right with God, it becomes a thing that they have to determine within themselves that they want to be better and that they want to do better. And unfortunately, we're in a time where that's not the case. They want to do what they want to do because they refuse to come correct before the Lord.
Now, I'm going to throw this question out to whoever will take the mic. I thought there was, I don't know, I might have read it in the Vulgate, the German Bible, but I thought there was a scripture in there that said when a person becomes a nuisance, we were to dismiss them from the fellowship of the saints. Anybody ever read that?
But in the facet that you just spoke it, I don't think it's quite where Paul was going. And actually Jesus talked about it as well. Let's go back to what Jesus said. He says, if you have aught against a brother, go to that brother. If he won't hear you, go back and bring another with you. And if he still won't hear you, you go back and get one more. Then they won't hear you, bring him before the church. Technically is what he's saying, before the, and if he still won't hear you, then here's where Paul comes in at, taking the same words of Jesus, but putting it in a more explanatory fashion. If they still won't hear you, you're to excommunicate them from the church. And when they repent, you have to be willing and ready to take them back in. We miss that last part all the time. Get out! That's what we say. Like the church belongs to us.
Wait. So you're trying to say, when they become a nuisance, we can release them, but if they go to God and get forgiven, we also got to have an open mind and an open heart and take them right back.
And that's the word.
You just said.
That's what I just said.
All right.
But we missed we never put the last part. We never put the last part into operation. We holler, get out. And when they ready to come back, oh, no, you ain't coming back in here.
Who else want to talk on that? I heard Bethany Henderson say she wanted to say something about that. Go ahead.
Amen. I totally agree with Bishop-elect. You know, if he is excommunicated out or not able to come back into the midst of the people, but if he repents and, you know, I believe that he is to, you know, be able to come back because we gain a brother. The scripture says that, you know, when he finds fault, you know, and he has been restored, you know, that you are to bring him back, to let him come back in. I'm saying in my own words, I'm a little freaky, but. The church doesn't belong to us. The church belongs to God. So who are we to tell somebody, you know, get out and never come back? I mean, you know, we're about winning souls, not killing souls. So I think everything that has to be done in the spirit of the Lord and with meekness and love. And love draws. Love doesn't kill. And so even though a person may have been in error, they may have gone astray, they might have done this or done that, our whole mission is to save that soul. I mean, you know, you have to save the soul. And just like going fishing, you know, you may have to use different bait and try different things. But whatever, your whole ultimate goal ought to be to win that soul, to kill it, but to win it. And so that's my thought on that.
We'll throw something. That's business. Don't go nowhere. I want to just throw this at you. What if that person says they have repented, you take them back in, and the same foolishness is still going on? How my end of my question or the end of my scenario says, how many times do we keep dealing with the same foolishness before we must make a ultimate decision? Because as much as we're saying, save that soul, there are yet other souls in there that we got to keep from foolishness, though. So what are we doing? How do we do?
I think it's important, again, to use discernment. Discernment lets you see what's really taking place in a person's heart. I want to share this with you. I want to say about 30 years ago, I think it was, close to it anyway. Yeah, about close to 30 years ago, I was ministering in Sanford, North Carolina, I believe it was. It's a country church, and a friend of mine, a young man who had gotten saved under my ministry, he was there in that area, and he wanted me to preach for that ministry, and I did. And afterwards, the Lord wanted me to pray for some people. There was a young lady who came up with her husband, and they had a baby. And the Lord dealt with me concerning the young lady and told me not to pray for her. Now, y'all might say, why did the Lord tell you something like that? Well, the Lord had me to share with her and her husband some things that the young lady was doing. The husband broke down and started crying, but she herself was in awe that the Lord had showed me what was going on. The Lord had showed me that she was, if you will, practicing harlotry. And she was doing it so that she could get drugs on the side. She couldn't believe that the Lord had showed that to me because she began to first get mad. And I said, yeah, the Lord told me you playing games. You don't want to be saved for real. And she went, and she was on the way to go sit down, and she turned back, and she cried, and she busted out, and she boo-hooed. She was like, I want to be saved. 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 Her husband was like, I will only stay with you if you would choose to be saved. After praying that day, the Lord began to move in them so that they have a great ministry in that same area today. So I believe that discernment comes into play, because one of the things that is lacking in our local assemblies is the purity of the church. It is one of the attributes of the church. It's purity, it's holiness, and without it, the church is not the church.
Uh-huh. All right, Pastor Henderson, you may say something else.
No, I totally agree with Apostle what said, and I think that discernment is so very important, because based on that discernment, you can make the wise decisions that need to be made, and not in the carnal. So many times people operate in the carnal realm of decisions a lot of times, and it causes confusion in the midst of the people of God. But I truly believe that when the Lord is in control of a situation, then it will be handled in the manner that it will be effective, and that the rest of the congregation will not be contaminated by one situation. So that's where the wisdom of God and the insight of God, the revelation of God, is carried out, because it's not carried out from a fleshly source. And so it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God in handling any manner in the church and leadership. Because it's so easy to get into the flesh, and you make decisions based on the flesh, and then you have a chaotic situation when it could have been handled in a manner that was able to win a soul, or if you need to communicate that person, you save your congregation, you save the others that are there. So it's just all how you handle a situation. But I think the key is being led by the Lord, and the spirit of discernment is definitely needed in leadership when dealing with situations like that.
I want to say, I think at that moment when a pastor or one of the leaders that is given permission by the pastor, because in some churches they hand certain things over to the elders. Now, when a elder or the pastor gets up and actually says in the midst of the congregation, you are dismissed, excommunicated, you are no longer a member, I think they have reached a height. They don't know which way to go anymore. In some churches, I will admit, in some churches, I've seen them just be mean. But in a lot of churches, I don't think they know which way to go anymore. You done prayed with them, talked to them, read scriptures to them, had them over to eat. You know, went on a fast with them, and they're still doing the same thing. And I think what happens in that moment of spiritual frustration, they make the statement, never come back. Meaning, I think they mean don't come back like you are. Because a lot of churches, if you do come back right, they take you back in, let you continue, even though they told you don't ever come back. But I think in that moment of spiritual frustration, they speak words that really are not meant, but they're spoken. And we have to be careful in the church about that, how far we go with stuff until it brings a temperament into our punishment that could lead to somebody never returning.
True.
I mean, really, actually never returning to church, to God, to the fellowship of the saints, and all that. Now that soul is required at our hand. And so I think that takes us well into our scripture tonight. And boy, oh boy, What a wonderful word it is tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Somebody read verse 1 for us. Out of the King James, out of the Amplified, out of the NIV. Somebody tell me what you got.
I've got the New International Version.
All right, Bishop Elect has the NIV.
All right, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted.
All right, let's not discuss yet. Pastor Whitlow, what you got?
King James.
Read it.
Says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Okay. Who has an amplified? Who can pull up an amplified very quickly?
I can pull up an amplified. Let me get an amplified. Ampy, I know you in here. Where you at? There you go. We got a classic or we got a regular amplified. Which one do you want?
Well, let's go to the regular, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to go classic, too.
Okay. From the Amplified, brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well.
Okay. Now let's look at this. One calls it a fault. One called it sin. One called it any sin. Let me go over that again. One called it a fault. One called it a sin. One called it any sin. Now, if the fault is sin or any sin, then when they fall into this, and we know it tonight as sin, when they fall into a sin, I'm going back to Apostle Whitlow. If discernment is in the house, why did we wait until they fell in it? Somebody talk to me.
Wait, repeat your question.
I said, from the versions that we read, fault is sin, and then sin is any sin. But I said, you discussed with us that discernment needs to be in the church. And if discernment is in the church, why did we wait until the person fell into a fault? If discernment.
Oh, that's easy.
Why do we let them fall if we got discernment?
I don't think we let them fall. We don't let people fall. However, what we do know is that people choose to fall. And to go further, that if we be truthful, most folk who attend church are just attendees, but they don't intend to be the believer that they are meant to be. And so we have folk who come to spectate, those who come to perpetrate, those who come to imitate, emulate, those who come, if you will, to litigate, some come to dictate, and others come to perpetrate, and then some. So if the truth be told, many who call themselves believers aren't believers. I believe that there's a lot of folk in church who are simply pushovers, and they don't want anyone to really know who they are. So what they do is they play a role, and they go along to get along. They sit in to fit in, but that's it. They don't look no further than that because it's not that serious to them. Again, we have a lot of people who they claim to be believers, and they're really not. Better yet, the old-fashioned way to say it is they call them saints. They call themselves saints when they really ain't.
All right, but I want to look at something. I'm going to press this a little harder. It says if a person falls, if you're in a grocery store, a restaurant, you know, even somebody walking through the house, and they go to fall, what's the first thing happen? People start jumping and moving to make sure they do what? Break the fall. Why does this scripture say to us when a brother falls? Why do we let people fall? I heard everything you said, Apostle. But the scripture suggests that we have let them fall. Why do we do that?
Here's my question. Were we watching? Did
Uh-oh.
We see them?
Uh-oh.
Were we watching and did we see them fall? If you let them fall and you watch them fall, you're just as guilty as they are. But if you had no knowledge of their fall but learn of their fall, go back, restore. Pick them up. Get them back on track. Pull them back in. Don't let them stay there long.
And the reason I push this question, the reason I push this question is because you brought up that wonderful statement about discernment. And so I wanted to push that a little harder, that if discernment is in the church like it's supposed to be, why have we let people fall if discernment is in place? Are we now that careless about each other that we can see in the spirit and still let things happen? That's really what I was getting to.
My question is, are you really seeing? Are you actually seeing in the spirit? I mean, I'm sitting here. Now, I will say this. This has actually happened. Having the gift of discerning of spirits, this has happened to me. An individual might be going through something, and they'll come up in my spirit, and I will call them. Hey, you good? You all right? Haven't talked to you in a minute. You all right? I'm okay. All right. You just came up out of nowhere. I just thought about you, so I figured I'd give you a call and see what's going on with you. Do you got time to talk? Yeah, let's talk. What's going on? And then the truth comes out. But then you got those who want to be such a super saint because they have run so many people into the ground, told so many people up, scandalized so many names, ostracized and criticized. Now they don't want you to know that they messed up. So they go, yeah, I'm good. I got to get out of here. I got a meeting to get to. I got to be there in 5 minutes. Boy, you know you ain't going no doggone where except to the bathroom to pee. Excuse my French, y'all. But that's it. Come on.
So actually, what you're saying is that some people's discernment is off. There's a
way
difference
off.
Between guessing how somebody is doing and when God actually shows you. It's like you said, when God really puts that person in your – as a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. I could use something that just happened yesterday. A person came in my spirit, had not a clue what I need to call them for. All I know, the spirit prompted me to make a call right quick. I made the call. I'm just chewing the fat. And I said, well, I just need to hear your voice. You came in my spirit. I said, I don't know why I called you. I said, but, you know, every now and then I just have to call you, see what's going on. And when I said, what did I say that for? When my mouth came open again, I began to minister exactly where they were by will of the Holy Ghost. And when I said what I said, the person said, oh, no, you're not going to do this. No, you're not going to do this. Said, you hit me so accurate just then. Said, you're not going to start this tonight, are you? I said, start what? I said, all I did was open my mouth and say something. I said, and then the word of the Lord fell out. I said, you can't fault me for that. And then I got ready to say something else, and another word of the Lord fell out. So sometimes that discernment is in our obedience, too.
Amen.
I had not a clue what I was calling for no more than to say, hi, what's going on? Are you enjoying the weather? But while on the phone, the Spirit discerned what needed to be said, what needed to be shared. And when the Spirit was through, guess what? My phone call was through. And what I'm saying tonight, people, God, we have a great response. Abel, am I my brother's keeper?
Notice that question. Notice that question. When the Lord asked Cain, where's your brother? He asked the question with the question, am I my brother's keeper? In actuality, he really couldn't answer the question because he wasn't his brother's keeper. He was his brother's killer. And the reality
exactly is
we don't have believers who are brother's keepers. They are brother's killers. That's the time we live in.
Well, if you allow me, I like to make that statement. We don't have enough that are brother's keepers. We got more killers than keepers. And the few keepers that we have, we need to cherish them and pray that God give us more. Because
Amen. It's
sad. It's sad in the body of Christ. And I agree with you, Father. It's sad in the body of Christ that we have as many killers as we have. And not just about our walk with God, but even about our dreams and visions that God has put in our spirit. They rather stick their hands in our spirit and abort the vision than to support it and help it come to birth.
My.
That's sad. That's really sad.
It is.
That we're living in a day like that, where discernment is no longer known, care for each other is not at a high. You know, I preached it some years ago, but I was in the middle of a message. I said, people of God, do y'all know what the real problem is? And everybody yelled, what? I said, the church is sick. I know somebody want to yell tonight. Well, God said he's a healer. And all the situation of the church of this hour, we're dealing with a sick church that needs a great healing from the Lord. Okay, so the scripture said, when you find your brother in a fault, in a sin, any sin, what is that to do?
It says, you which are spiritual,
what?
Restore such one in the spirit of meekness.
Well,
you.
I thought we left it all being spiritual out the window nowadays.
They do that.
We done made spiritualism sound like it's the world of darkness now. If you hear a lot of the teaching, that's going on now about being spiritual, they just about make everything sound like.
All right. Well, you know what, Apostle, now, I just heard Apostle Whitlow just read. Listen to this. This is the back end of that. He says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. It says, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Key word. Two key words. Responsive and control. Should set him right and restore and reinstate him with out any sense of superiority. Keep your ego to yourself with all gentleness. I put the keep your ego to yourself in there. Keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should also be tempted. I'm looking at this from the Amplified Classic Edition. And that's something to think about. We got several words in here, five to be exact. We have to, first of all, six. Let's put all six in. Spiritual, responsive to the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. When you are responsive and controlled by the Spirit, now you're in a position to restore, to reinstate, to set that individual right. Because you're not going to have an ego of any sort. You're not going to have that I told you so mentality. You're not going to come across as pompous, arrogant, haughty, or anything of that nature. You're going to come across with a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of humility. Your heart should be as contrite as that individual who desires to be restored, because you got to look at it this way. That individual is still the apple of God's eye, and like the prodigal son, when you've seen him afar off, you may not be his father, but you should fall on his neck and rejoice in the fact that your friend, your brother, who once was lost, has now been found. Why don't we do that these days?
But here's the key. There's something that you said, and I guess we're talking because the ladies don't want to talk. But I think the key is when it says ye, which are spiritual, I really believe that relates to maturity. And if it's, again, this goes back to something that I said earlier, we have people who are not mature. We have, let me say it this way. We have people who are children of God, but we don't have any sons of God. We don't have any daughters of God. No, we have children. And so children will say, that's not my job. Children will say, that's not for me to do. Let somebody else do it. I want to do something else. Because children only want to have fun. Children only want to be entertained. Children don't want no responsibility, and certainly they don't want no accountability, because when you mature, you are called to both responsibility and accountability. And so we are in a day and time where many do not want that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I, you know what? I can agree with that, with what you're saying. Maturity, responsibility, and accountability, all traits and attributes of the Spirit. I can agree with what you're saying. I mean, there's no need in me trying to reinvent the wheel, because the absolute truth is this. Do you want it? That's really what needs to be, that's the question that needs to be answered. Do you want it? If you don't want it, why am I even bothering to go through the red tape? I got to wait for you. God waits for us every single time we mess up. God, he don't chase us down. He's right there waiting for you to come to yourself and make your way back to him. Does that, I mean, would that sound about right? Hello, somebody.
Yeah, it sounds right to me.
All right. Did we lose everybody?
Did the ladies disappear?
Apostle? I think we lost everybody.
Wow.
Just you and me. Either we lost everybody or we the only two on this line.
Somebody's still muted.
Timmy Robinson, are you there?
God,
I was
going to
hang up and call back in. This is something, ain't it?
I am
never
here. You guys are on live. You're live.
We're just trying to make sure. See, the problem here is nobody's responding. Seems like, is Apostle Smith still with us? You take it too long
to
respond.
Yeah,
Apostle
he's
Smith,
on.
Did he put himself?
He may have put himself on mute. Hang up, Apostle Smith, and call back in.
I think everyone is still on.
Okay, well, he may have muted himself.
Don't know.
He may have.
You know what?
He may have
no,
muted himself.
Actually, he just dropped again. He dropped again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he may have muted himself.
Unless his battery is out.
We're
past- too.
No, he's
but,
all right
yeah.
with the batteries. Just
did we lose Pastor Henderson as well?
I am here.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Pastor Henderson, you back? So let's hear your comments as we move forward.
Amen. I think it's a good discussion. So many elements to this discussion. I was kind of thinking when you were talking about the obedience piece and the accountability and the responsibility that we have as believers, and it's kind of piggybacking back over what we're said as children and being mature in Christ. And God is calling for us to be mature believers so that we can accomplish work in these days. And then, you know, goes back also to a spiritual mind and a carnal mind. You know, and in the Greek, we are both spiritual and carnal-minded Christians. And so you can expect that the carnal-minded Christians respond the same way as spiritual-minded Christians because they have another mindset. And so I was just thinking that I used to hear a person say, you can't solve spiritual problems with worldly ideals. And as spiritual leaders, we have to make sure that we're not trying to solve the spiritual problem within the church with worldly ideals, you know. And so we have to make sure that we spend the same word of God and go back to the word. The word should be our base, to be our foundation. So when we go back to the word, not go here and there and ask, what should I do with this, what should I do with that? And there may be a worldly perspective. And you cause a soul to be injured or be lost because you have taken a carnal stance when really the person needed to be, needed to be handled in a different manner because of whatever the situation. But the goal always should be to restore someone. And then the scripture goes on and says so that you yourself, you know, won't fall in the same situation. So I think that it's so important that when we're dealing with situations, we also keep in mind ourselves, that same word that we preach, let's we fall away and be a castaway, that when we're ministering, let's keep, you know, the spiritual aspect of the whole situation and have that spiritual mind and also see ourselves, you know, in the situation. So many times I think people are so isolated. They're just looking at, okay, this person did this person that, and they're not ever considering, what if that was me? How would I want, you know, to be dealt with? How would I like to be handled? And so, you know, when you're able to have the spiritual insight, then you're able to handle the situation in a spiritual way versus a carnal. And I think it's just so important to make sure that you're not trying to solve spiritual problems with worldly ideals, you know. And that's what becomes a problem in the church when you begin to do things because it makes you feel good. You know, I'm going to tell this person off and everybody, you know, because I'm the leader. I'm this. I'm that person. I have, you know, it's a way to do things. So, I mean, you know, we have to just remember that we do have a great responsibility, and we are accountable to God first. So God is looking at how we handle souls, because the souls don't belong to us.
That's right.
So God is looking at how we handle his people. And sometimes when we don't handle the people right, there's backlash that comes back because of that. And we cause more hindrance and more problems as if we had to just handle it in a different manner. So as I was saying before, Lord, allowing the Lord to lead and to guide and just speaking his faith and just being mindful that still belong to the Lord and ask the Lord how to deal with it. Every situation is different, and we can't put everybody in the same mold because this person did this over here. I remember when someone did this to me, this church, you know, so I'm not going to let it happen. So you're trying to prevent something that may not even be the same case. So we just have to be, you need the spirit of discernment, you need the kingdom of God, inviting and dealing with situations that sometimes can be dealt with, that sometimes can be sometimes complicated, but seek the Lord. Solomon asked, you know, Lord, I don't want this, that. I want wisdom to know how to go in and out among people. And that'll be our prayer, that God gives us wisdom to know how to go in and out among the people, how to handle the people of God the way that God wants us to handle it, not how we and ourselves want to handle it. Because how sometimes in ourselves we might say, hey, I want, this is what I want to do. I'm going to say this. And you know, you're preparing everything how you're going to handle a situation, and you know, and God may just turn it and say, uh-uh. When you get to that person, I want you to say this. I want you to be meek. I want you to, you know, do something totally different that's outside of what your character. So you got to be willing to let God lead you, because God knows what that person needs. And so you just have to be open to God and be led by God and led by
him. Amen. 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 I don't know if Apostle Smith has made his way back yet, but we'll hang out a little bit longer. Let's look at the rest of this scripture. Apostle Whitlow, what do you have in the King James?
It says again, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we understand that we have to be spiritual in order to restore. But there's another word that goes with that spiritual and restore. It talks about a spirit of meekness. In a sense, what it's saying is do it without being arrogant. You got to be gentle. And I think you just said it really well, Pastor Henderson. You got to deal with people God's way and not your way.
Uh-huh.
Because your way might insult them, and that insult may, if you will, infuriate them. The Bible teaches us that a salt answer turneth away wrath. So when you approach them, if you don't do it in the right manner, you're liable to do more harm than good.
And good. I would agree. I would agree. Anybody else want to add to what he's already said? I mean, honestly speaking, I mean, it's such a great discussion. We really don't want to miss out on the benefits of this, because this becomes vital. We can clearly understand why so many people will walk away from the church and decide they no longer want to be part of it, because of the way they're being mishandled and mistreated, you know? And I would personally say this. I've been down that road. Trust me when I tell you. I've been down that road where people kind of judged me or passed judgment on me, if I could say that, and pretended like I was irrelevant. I've even had a pastor, and I'm going to say it, without putting names out there, I had a pastor that put me in a position where it made me question their level, not my level of integrity, because we knew I had done something wrong. But when I acknowledged the wrong, there was no restoration in the spirit. Suddenly, I get punishment with no real retribution, if I could say that word. You know, in other words, at least acknowledge, am I acknowledging my wrongdoing? My restoration doesn't mean I have to go back to whatever it is that I, you know, whatever office I held. I'm going to be in that office anyway because I don't lose the office just because, you know, I mess up. What happens is when you put me in a position where now you're going to become my judge, my jury, and my executioner, we got a problem already. You know what I mean? We got a huge problem. Who told you that you had the right to judge me? I'm just asking, who told you you had the right to judge me? If I turned around and gave my and repented and came back to the Lord, at what point do you have to judge me from that point? You've got to take into consideration that I did repent. And in my repentance, there should have been restoration, spiritual restoration. Now, naturally speaking, you may not want to move that quick. And I can understand that. But acknowledge the fact that I repented. Acknowledge the fact that I turned to the Lord and asked him for forgiveness. I mean, this is where we mess up at. This is where we make our mistakes at. Those of us who are supposed to be spiritual show how carnal we really are when we cannot respond in the spirit, when we cannot restore in the spirit, when we can't allow the Holy Spirit to control us to the place and point where we're not judgmental and we're not walking in our flesh. We can't put anybody or set anybody in a right place. God sets them in the right place, actually. We're just helping them to get back to the place, that right standing with him. Our job is to restore them, to let them know that God forgave them. We forgive them, too. We can't throw stuff in the sea of forgetfulness because we got a fishing rod with whatever it is they done hooked to the end of whatever you threw in the sea of forgetfulness. And the first time they look like they're going to mess up, here you go reeling it back in. You want them to see what it is they did again. Yeah, I remember just 3 weeks ago when you snuck over Sister TT's house at 12 o'clock at night and now she's pregnant. He don't need to be reminded of that. Little Junior that's coming along the way is going to be his remembrance. So the reinstatement of that individual has to start from a spiritual aspect and not from a carnal aspect. Anybody else want to throw anything in there? Hello, somebody.
I would like to add a comment.
All right, go ahead.
If I may add a comment, it seems that maybe the church has gotten away from the heart of God in that the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is always reconciliation. So reconciliation, we are using the word discerning, but very often it's not the gift of discerning of spirits. It's just being critical and harsh, and we have lacked discipleship, which discipleship has along with it the arm of accountability, but it requires relationship. So when a brother or sister falls, we which are spiritual, mature, we have to be willing and able to sit down where they are, hear them out without falling into the depth of their sin, extend our hand and help them get up without being critical, but in mind. So when the brother was expelled from the church, it wasn't just to throw him out. The heart of God was so that the person would come to themselves and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think if we keep that in mind, that reconciliation is always God's goal, always.
And I agree with you. Now, who are we speaking to? Because the voice sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
This is Marva. This is Marla. Apostle invited.
Yes, he's expecting you, and I think either his phone died. I'm not sure what's going on, but Apostle Whitlow, hold it down for a minute. Let me see if I can get him back on the line. I'm gonna find out if his phone died. Something happened, so I'm gonna go out here and find him because he was expecting you, and he'd be delighted to know that you got here. Welcome, by the way. To the voice with the host of Chief Apostle Vinton L. Smith. Apostle Whitlow, let me put it in your hands for a few minutes. We've only got about 15, 20 minutes left anyway.
I knew you were going to do that. Hey, man, there's so much in this. There is so much in this that we need to pay attention to. I think if I know Apostle Smith like I know Apostle Smith, his objective is to make sure that we become better as believers, because people are claiming to be believers and they're not operating as believers. Can you imagine? I just want you to think about this. I want you to imagine a cell phone that doesn't operate as a cell phone. I mean, for instance, you dial a number to call somebody. Instead, it sends out a text message. You send out a text message. Instead, it takes a picture. You take a picture. The picture is making a phone call. Can you imagine how messed up that phone would be? You would think that phone is defective. And so what I really believe is that he's showing the defectiveness or the dysfunctionality, if there's a word such as that, the dysfunctionality of the believer in today's time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because look, he's making it clear, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, notice he's talking to the brethren, the believers, the people of God. If a man be overtaken in a fault, spiritual, restore such in one in the spirit of meekness. The objective is to get believers to operate in such a manner, not harshly, not viciously, not wrongly, but, if you will, in a manner of meekness, being spiritual. The thing that catches me is that the next clause says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, put yourself in that individual's shoes. How would you want to be treated? How would you want to be
very
handled?
True.
Because it's amazing. When we find somebody in wrong, we want to crucify them.
Yes.
But when we're in wrong, we want everybody to love on us and help us to know it's going
merciful.
To be all right.
Yeah, to be merciful.
Come on. Come on. Somebody
talk
me on that.
Well, now I'm going to talk to you on it because, see, and here's where we find the underhandedness and
I don't know what just happened. He was about to talk. I tell you, when the conversation is this good, the enemy gets mad. Why? Because this is helping somebody to come into the reality of the truth. People have been ever learning, but they haven't come to the knowledge of the truth. They can quote scripture, but they can't live it.
All right.
They can repeat scripture, but they can't live it. You were about to say before you got booted off.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with these telephones these days, but to God be the glory, at least we can get back on. A lot of us think that we can pull a fast one on God. We forget the fact that he's omnipresent and omniscient, that he sees all and he cannot be deceived under any circumstances. God takes note of every little shortcut that we take, and he pays attention to our efforts when we do extremely well. We have to ensure that we are living by his truth. We have to seek others to hold us accountable. We have no, I shouldn't say we have no business falling into a fault or falling into sin. It can happen. 1 John 1:9 is in Scripture for a specific reason. But we need to seek others to help hold us accountable. People who are going to act like our quote-unquote alarm bells and sound the alarm when we're going the wrong way at the right time. And we have to invite other people to ask us those tough questions, you know. I mean, first of all, you know, and I'm not picking on you personally, Apostle. I know you like a brother. I've been around you long enough. I should be able to come up to you and say to you, Apostle Whitlow, is your personal walk with God up to date? I should be able to ask you things. Are you keeping your priorities straight? I have to learn how to ask you hard questions. Are you accountable? And then I have to ask the question that even though you're an apostle, again, I'm not picking on you. I'm just using it as an example. You may be an apostle. You may have a ranking within the fivefold ministry, but are you accountable to someone who may possibly be in authority? They don't have to necessarily be in authority over you, but are they an authoritative figure? Are you accountable to that individual? And then I want to know, are you sensitive to what God is saying to the whole body of Christ? I have to be concerned about the image that I present to the world. The world is throwing the church under the bus because the church is taking their standard down two notches. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I've got no problem with this personally, but I've got a problem with it for certain times and in certain seasons. We have come to the point in place now that, you know, we want people to feel comfortable when they come to church. So we as preachers will dress down to make the rest of the congregation feel comfortable. Well, the problem is, what's the problem with the congregation dressing down and you putting your work clothes on so that they could see the man or woman of God? It's not that we want people to look at us different. We want them to see Christ in us. Imagine if a police officer decided that he's going to wear a Hawaiian short and a Hawaiian shirt and some a pair of shorts and some sandals, but he's still got a badge and a gun on. To you, automatically, you look at that person as a civilian. You're not looking at him as a police officer, are you? All I'm simply saying is there is a walk that goes with this righteous or right standing and this living that we're doing. Find ourselves in a position where we start going substandard, when we start, I need the right word here. Holy Ghost, give me the right word. When we find ourselves, when we are living beneath what the standard that God has set, now we have put the rest of the body, and I'm talking to leaders, we put the rest of the body in a position where, well, Pastor Richard ain't doing nothing, so why should I? I don't want to get in a relaxed state when it comes to serving God. I ain't got to be so super saved that, you know, I don't want to be so heavenly minded till I become no earthly good either. But at the same time, I need to maintain a standard that pleases my Father in heaven. One of the first things, we already established accountability. We already established spirituality. We already established responsibility. We already established gentleness. We already established being attentive. But the one thing we seem to have a problem establishing is consistency in God. When we talk about the church at large and the fivefold ministry in particular, I mean, somebody just respond to that, please. Does it sound right? Somebody just respond.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, praise God. I've been trying to get back on for 15 minutes.
My. Thank God you're here. Evangelist or Pastor Marvis here, too, by the way.
I heard it. Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you. Amen. Such a wonderful woman of God. Amen. Somebody answer that question. I don't want to bother the discussion. Such a wonderful discussion.
Oh, listen to this. We got crickets and creaking doors. Ain't that something?
Hello? Somebody going to answer that question? Maybe you need to ask it again, Bishop Elect.
My question is, are we, the body of Christ, the fivefold ministry in particular, have we considered having a consistency about what we do? We've already answered the question for spirituality, for responsibility, for accountability, for restoration, for reinstatement, for gentleness, and for attentiveness. But can we have a level of consistency? Why on earth am I going to put Chief Apostle Vincent Smith in one category, Apostle Whitlow in another category, Pastor Henderson in another category, and Pastor Marva in another category, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson in another? Why am I giving preferential treatment to certain ones? The word didn't say give preferential treatment. If God has no respect to a person, I shouldn't. So my question again.
But you know what? I'm going to chime in on that. The answer, the simple answer to that is because that's the way training has been going for the last 15 or 20 years.
Wow.
We're the greatest church. I'm the greatest pastor. And you answer to me. You listen to me. Everybody else is stupid. Everybody else is teaching wrong. Everybody else is ignorant. If you ain't getting me from here, you ain't getting me.
That's what they're doing.
That's what's been going on. And this is why we don't have consistency. I'm teaching one thing here. Somebody else teaching something else down the street. And everybody trying to claim they got the truth. I got the revelation. I'm saying what needs to be said. And the truth of the matter is there's nothing right but the word of God. Our
Amen.
Interpretations are off.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the people are suffering because there's so much off teaching. Matter of fact, I'll just go straight out with the word. The Bible told us, in the last days, look, watch out for the false teachers.
That's what it said.
And there's a lot of false teaching going on right now, and people are jumping and whooping and hollering, and they ain't getting nothing. That's why they can't go through nothing. That's why they can't stand the test. That's why we're having this discussion tonight, because somebody is walking in the wrong and think they're right. The one that is in fault thinks they're right, and the one that is nasty, while having the one in the fault, they think they're right. Actually, they think the Holy Ghost is leading them.
Some of them think that. Apostle, we're at the top of the hour.
We're at the top of the hour.
We're at the top of the hour,
give us 10 minutes at the end. Give us 10 minutes at the end of the month. We want to close this out. Let me ask my dear friend, Mr. Marvel, you have anything else to say? I would have to close out with at least without letting you respond again. You have anything else you'd like to say? Did she leave us? Oh.
No, I'm here. Actually, I agree with the comments that have been said. I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but I think very often we are attempting to play Holy Ghost rather than let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. He'll do his work. But it's very challenging if we don't have Jesus' objective in mind from the beginning, we're not going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you can't restore in the absence of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to do that. So if there's no relationship, very often what is happening, there is, we'll say, the intent to hold someone accountable. No relationship there. There's no coming along, the lack of empathy. There's no compassion in the restoration. It's just sometimes mean-spiritedness. And there's a difference. Everything should be done in love. But by loving kindness, he drew them. So, and if you think people have said it over and over again, we're not mindful that we could be that individual. We're not putting ourselves in their place. We're thinking it's actually a level of self-righteousness if we're not careful, or if we're not wise. So, again, if we have to have Jesus's objective in mind first, it's very easy to find fault, to put blame, to say this one or that one. And actually, the Lord, I believe he uses these types of scenarios to help develop our character, because it requires a cultivating of the fruit of the Spirit within our own self to be able to come alongside of someone else when they have fallen, they're in fault. And sometimes we just don't even want to do it. We do not want to do it because we think, oh my goodness, how could they have done that? That is such a whatever. Well, that's why God has us being in a position to restore so that we can, I can't emphasize this, the words that I would use, it's like, are we able, anytime anyone falls, can you go sit down beside that person and just chat, put all your titles aside, put your positions aside, and just chat, and like give your hand to sit down with them, like a Charlie Brown kind of thing, you know, and just kind of talk it out. And that's one of the things that it just seems apparent. We are not spending sufficient time to find out what the issues are with people. We are too quick to place blame, to find a fault in them. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole lot more underneath that, which gives opportunity for ministry. But you have to be willing to listen, and empathy is that we need more empathy and compassion in the body of Christ. So no discipleship, no relationship. Discipleship provokes us into relationship. Now, I mean, you're supposed to have relationship at least. It can be different levels of relationship. But when discipling is going on, then relationship should be being built somewhere along the way. I mean, I've really been enriched in listening to everybody. You have such valuable nuggets. I mean, it's a blessing. Thank you so much.
Amen, and thank you tonight. I pray you be a part of us. Anytime, all the time, and when your time is free, come and be on The Voice. There's also Amen, the Pastor's Corner on Thursdays, and Making Marriage Meaningful on Saturdays. They both come on at 10 o'clock. I'm the late show. Amen. But thank you for coming tonight and sharing such wonderful words and information with us. Amen. Pastor Henderson, give us closing prayer. I don't have time to say a lot of closing. We're already over time. Give us closing prayer. And then, Kimmy Kim, make the track hot and pop.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for this discussion tonight. We thank you for the opportunity, Father God, to be able to share your word, Father God. We pray that something will be said tonight that will encourage someone, to lift somebody, to take someone a little higher in their walk. Lord, most of all, Lord, that we will take this word and look inwardly on ourselves, God, and to examine ourselves, O God, that we will be, O God, representation of you in the earth, Father God, that we will be concerned about us, Father God, that we will restore and have a spirit of meekness, Father God, and we will consider ourselves oh God, in all that we do, that we may be your hands, your eyes, your feet in the earth realm, Father. We thank you, oh God, for this opportunity tonight to give you praise and give you glory. Let you have your way in the furtherance, oh God, this evening as people rest on tonight. Anyone that may be listening that has not received you, Lord, and Savior, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will come to a place of turning, oh God, that they will recognize that you died for their sins, that they might be saved, that you carry their burden and their sins at Calvary. Help them to turn. Help them, oh God, to seek your faith. We thank you, oh God, for everything that you're doing in this hour. Make us ready, Lord. Make us ready for your coming, for we know you're going to come. We give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
If you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God has great things in store for you. God bless you tonight. We say shalom, shalom. Kim, make it happen.
Brothers and sisters in the street, I'm here to let you know I come in the name of the King. There is no other name I know whereby men who can be saved. Jesus Christ is that name. He knows you have a need, and I'm here to save the sea and to let you know the pain is over now. It's a place called unity, where we meet.